Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody doing today? Great to have you with us. Thank God, what, Glenn Macnow's on the show today, I believe. Talking about the Eagles. Very nice. We're going to move Neil Kulong to tomorrow. Because we've got Glenn today. We'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on. There's been a lot of news that has happened today. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Tony's in today, which is great. Great to have Tony on board. And we'll have some fun here over the next hour and 45 minutes or so. Here on the great WKOK. It really is. You know, it's, you know, people have asked me about, you know, working here over time. You know, it's because I'm coming up on what's going to be my 10th anniversary here of working. Jack Ham sent me a text from practice today. So I'll be joining him at practice on Thursday. Have asked me about working here. I said, this station is what, to me, local radio is all about. And we just finished up the run with, you know, Talk to Santa and the Magic Radio. What Mark does every morning here, Mark Lawrence, Joe McGranahan, that's awesome radio. Shikellamy Braves football, Shikellamy Braves basketball, of course, you know, carrying all the Penn State stuff, how we set up with Bucknell. This is what local radio stations should be doing. Right, staying in touch with you and this show. I mean, Roger's the one that came up with this show. What's it like working there? I said, these people are awesome. I said, they get it. They understand the concept of what radio actually is. And, do we have some network programming like we just heard Dan Patrick? Yeah. We're live, local, in tune, in touch, and now we can sit here and we can talk about certain, you know. So let's get into the news of the day. So here's the news of the day. We'll start with basketball. Penn State's game with Delaware State is a no-go. It's going to be canceled for tomorrow night. It's going to be at 6. We're going to be on at 5:30. It's not Penn State. It was Penn State for VCU and Quinnipiac. But not this time. Penn State has been practicing since Sunday. They don't have everybody back, but they have most people back. And by the end of the week, they should have everybody back. But Delaware State ended up with positives. That's why the game is canceled. So the next game for the Nittany Lions, it will be Indiana Sunday at 4. Dick and I will be on at 3:30. And no, I see. Houston just took the lead over Auburn 17-13. Ooh. All right, so now Auburn, Finley's had kind of a rough day, which is what I expected. Auburn's been winning the game, had a big second half, scored 13 unanswered points, but it's too much to hold on for. But so that, I mean, that's where it is. So, yeah, Houston's winning over Auburn 17-13. But again, when it comes to station programming, yeah, that's what you got. And so the Delaware State game canceled. Now, the Lady Lion game with Iowa is postponed. You're saying, well, why is that postponed and the men's game is canceled? The men's game is canceled because it's a non-conference game. The Iowa game for the Lady Lions is postponed because it is a conference game. They're going to figure out a spot in there to make the game up in the conference race. Last year, Penn State, with all the movement, they missed 3 weeks last year. Ended up still playing 19 out of 20 conference games. The only one they didn't was Michigan. Okay? So that's the goal of the Big Ten, to play, if possible, every conference game. And they may have to do it through movement. Finding those open spaces where they can get the game in. So that's why, as a conference game, they'll do everything they can to make it up. Because Penn State men's basketball, that was a non-conference game, it's canceled. By the way, Indiana will play tomorrow night. They'll play UNC Asheville tomorrow. That's one. Next, let's get to the bowl game. Arnold Ebiketie is out of the bowl game. He's not in Tampa anyway. Now, for all of you, like, oh, boy, what does this mean for the team? The players have all known for weeks who's in and who's out. You've got to look. So let's look at this from two points of view, right? Both points of view are valid. So let's look at this from two points of view. You're the fan sitting there, okay? And you're saying to yourself, oh, the stars are out of the game. You are correct. There's no Dotson. There's no Burks for Arkansas. Williams won't play in the game. Ebiketie's not playing the game. Brisker's not. Okay? When I met Williams, I meant Trey Williams of Arkansas. You saw, for example, four players for Ohio State not in the Rose Bowl. Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, the two wideouts, Nicholas Petit-Frere, the big right tackle, and the defensive tackle, Haskell Garrett. They're all out of the Rose Bowl. All right, so you're losing names. Now, to an average fan, they probably know Olave and Wilson. They know Dotson. To be honest with you, I hate to say this, most don't know who Treylon Burks is because it's Arkansas. Now, those of us who are in this know Burks is a fabulous player. But again, Penn State, Ohio State, they're the Blue Bloods. So more people know about them. But the average fan beyond that, that's why they're getting over a million viewers per bowl game. CNN gets 500,000 to 700,000 in primetime. Auburn right now is playing Houston. They've got over a million viewers at 3:22 in the afternoon. Because people just want to watch a game. That's how I look, guys. Want to watch a game. Yeah, am I disappointed? I want to get to see a few guys. Yeah. And as a fan, I understand, oh, Penn State's missing all these guys and blah, blah, blah. And you're right. You are not incorrect. You are right, and I understand your disappointment because you saw one team play during the course of the year. Now you feel like you're going to see a different team. All right, got it. That's one. Now let's go to the other side. This opens the door for other people. So opens the door for Keaton Ellis to play more. This opens the door for Jonathan Sutherland to play more at that outside linebacking spot. Opens the door for Malik Mega to play more. Cam Sullivan Brown. It opens the door for Olu Fashanu. Now, Rashid's hurt. Okay, I think everybody knows he's hurt. I don't think I'm breaking any code here. But Olu Fashanu, in all likelihood, is going to be the starting left tackle. I've watched Olu Fashanu practice. Man, I like him. Doesn't mean he's not going to make some mistakes on Saturday or whatever. But I've been anxious. You know, the only reason he didn't play in the last two games when Rashid couldn't is because he was banged up. I'm not going to get into what it was. That's up to him to say or James to say, but not me. I know what it was, but that's wrong of me to take the liberty and say it. But he's back now, and he's 100%. So I'm going to be anxious. He'll have some learning on the job, growing pains. But he's a player I think has nice potential. Very nice. I'm going to be anxious to... I got to sit there and watch him. You know, like, I think I'll concentrate on him. I have to find the ball. Okay? But at some point, I'll look at the tape afterward and take a long look and see how he did. But that's an opportunity for Olu Fashanu. So I look at it as you are absolutely right feeling the way you do. And then I also look at it as, hey, here's an opportunity for somebody else. Somebody else have been anxious to watch play anyway. So we'll have Glenn. We'll take care of that. And since Glenn's going to be here, we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Neil tomorrow. So there you go. And then we will have Chuck Barrett, the play-by-play voice of Arkansas, on the show on Thursday. And Jack Ham's on Thursday's show as well. Let's see. I think, is there any other notes I had? I had news and notes. Talked about Ebikadi. I mean, these guys just stagger the announcements out. Talked about Ebikadi. Of course, we already talked about Dotson. And I like Joey Porter and Crispus announced he was coming back. To be honest with you, I think I knew that one at the end of October, I think. So that was never a mystery. Somebody sent me this pro sports meme. Somebody sent this to me. In fact, it was Scott Walker from the Spikes. Right? This picture of Bill Belichick, and Belichick staring into a camera. Merry Christmas, but we're on to New Year's. That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Merry Christmas, but we're on to New Year's. Oh, my God. How about that? Oh, nice story on MLive.com. With Michigan football and the college football playoff, broadcast duo Jim Brandstetter and Dan Dierdorf, both of whom have been guests on this show several times, set to sign off one last time. That's really great. Now, Dan has not been traveling to a lot of games because, Dan needs two canes to move around. His knees have been bad. His back's been bad. But he's made his way to Florida. He is there for you. He'll be there for the Orange Bowl. Now, and this is the decision the two of them made last January. It's interesting because the people at Learfield got a hold of me because they know how close, for example, Dan and Jack happen to be. They both played in the college All-Star game together, for goodness sakes, years ago. And they said, you know, what about Jack? I said, Jack's coming back. I said, believe me. I said, Jack wants to keep doing this for a while. They go, oh, good, good. Yeah, you're saying good, good. Me, I'm going like, great. Glenn Mack now. We'll talk about the Eagles next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory. Best in pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Your trade-in's never been worth more than that. Service department makes it one-stop shopping. They do a great job with inspections. Routine maintenance, difficult. They'll take care of it all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Very pleased to be joined on the line by our old friend who's always been a great friend of this show, Glenn Macnow. First of all, Glenn, great to have you with us. Happy New Year and welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. All my best to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Well, this is quite a run that the Eagles have started to put together here, Glenn. When you watch them, what are a couple of elements that maybe weren't there 6 weeks ago, but now have fallen in line with the elements that were there?
Okay, I don't want to start with a downer, but part of it is they're playing much easier competition. I think when you play the New York Giants with Jake Fromm and you play Washington with their fourth-string quarterback and so on, it helps. Again, I don't want to take anything away, but you always do have to look at who they're playing. They have not played an elite quarterback in a long time. Maybe Tom Brady was the last one. But in addition to that, clearly one of the things that has worked for them is Coach Nick Sirianni showed a lot of flexibility and realized that his strength is his offensive line, and specifically his strength is his offensive line when they run the ball. And the Eagles went from a team that handed off to its running backs literally four times in an early season game against Dallas to a team that up until last week had rushed for 175 yards or more six games in a row. And so that is the biggest difference, is they run the ball, they dominate the line, they keep the ball away from the other team, and it has worked for them with a series of running backs in a dramatic way.
You know, it's interesting you bring up I brought up the schedule many times, and I know that the two games that you referenced were division games. But let's face it, you know, you've got a last-place schedule, so they've played the Jets, they took advantage. They played the Lions, they took advantage. And that's part of how the NFL works. But you have to take advantage of it yourself. And I think you made some really interesting points about that. You're taking advantage of what's put in front of you, and that's what they're doing.
Right. That's the way. Again, the last place schedule isn't as much as it used to be. It is literally a difference of two games. You mentioned the two. It's the Lions and the Jets, and they won those two games by a combined score of 77-24. So, yeah. I'm not going to pretend that that's not there. But you also, you know, you got to win your other games. The one they won most impressively to me, and it goes back to November, but they beat Denver out in Denver. Denver's not a great team, right, but they're an okay team. That was a nice win. That was a quality win. They are not going to play another quality team. They beat New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is currently falling apart, but I thought when they played them, they were a decent team. But, yeah, their season is going to end with the Giants, the Jets, Washington, the Giants, Washington. And then the last week they play Dallas. We'll see how much that game means. Hey, you play who's there. That's all you can. You can't beat teams you don't play.
That's right. Exactly. So let's get to the Miles Sanders situation. When he plays, he makes a big difference for them. So what is his status right now over the last couple of weeks of this season coming up, Glenn?
Well, he's definitely going to be out this week. Broke his hand, as I'm sure you know, your listeners know. That's a tough injury for a running back, right? You got to hold the ball. There are certain positions where you could play with a busted hand. Running back's really not one of them. They didn't put him on IR. They're hoping to have him back. I imagine that if they are a good, if they make the playoffs or look like they're in, they will hold them out against Dallas the last week. And they are hoping that it's not that serious a fracture and that they will be able to get him back. Boy, Steve, here's something I didn't think I'd say last time we talked. They're hoping to get him back for the playoffs.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
I think they were 5-7 or 4-3-6 maybe when we spoke last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things have improved.
Jalen Hurts, is he a better product now than that 5 or 6 weeks ago that we talked?
Yes, with an asterisk. He has moments where you say, hey, this is a guy they can use going forward. This is your quarterback for the next 5 years, 7 years. And then there are moments when you look at him and say, he's going to be okay, but he's never going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Right.
I think where they are now, it's where I am now, and I think where they are now is he's going to be their quarterback next year. There's talk, Aaron Rodgers. Nah, they're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. There's talk Russell Wilson. I think that's a real, real long shot. The upside to me on Jalen Hurts is he's an explosive player. You know, the new breed of quarterback runs the ball, and he does that very well. His arm is not weak. His accuracy just needs to improve, and you can learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's really an upside is he's still on his rookie contract. It's a second-round pick. It's really affordable. You can go out and get other guys. You know, if you get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, you're paying a ton. And you also have those three first-round draft picks, which I think if you want to get, Lockett or one of the other quarterbacks, you're going to have to trade up. And I'd rather they keep the three first-round draft picks, help the defense, and give the kid another year to see.
Yeah. Yet there's Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, I think I said to you the last time, Glenn, it's one thing for us to watch a guy on TV and say, wow, he's quite a talent, but then you get to see him in person. When you see him in person, does he check every box for you?
Oh, he made a catch in the end zone the other day, keeping his feet in bounds, or in the sidelines, keeping his feet in bounds. First they ruled he was inbounds, then they ruled, no, he was out of it. There's no way he could have caught that. And then I never saw a replay replayed and overturned, but they sent it up to Booth. And he dragged his feet perfectly. He's elusive. He runs good routes. He's got great hands. I mean, the size is what the size is, but it hasn't really been a factor yet. I love this kid. I particularly love when he lines up right next to Lane Johnson, who is literally twice his size. I don't know if you saw the photos that went out this week of that, but that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, you know what's interesting? And I made this point when they played Ohio State in the national championship game. Alabama would line him up in the slot, but Ohio State kept giving him free release off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And that was always my concern. Yeah, and that's always was my concern that when he got to the NFL, they're not big on free release. Yet he is still an effective player, Glenn. Why is that? Why is he elusive to get a hand on at the line of scrimmage?
It's that first step. It really is. It's the first step. You think you're going to hit him, and that first step, he's already, halfway by you, so you really don't get that good shot on him. He's quick. He's smart. He just knows where to go to be elusive, and by the time you think you hit him, he's already two steps past you.
Wow. Have we seen a revival of Fletcher Cox?
Maybe. I would say in what has been a very mediocre season for him, he's had two very good games right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You have two more in the regular season. I would like to believe that. They're going to have a big decision to make with him next year. Big salary, big contract, getting older. So I'll just say this: he's been excellent in the last two games, Steve. But revival is too high for me.
And I agree that it's a big decision, but I think it's a decision he's already made for them. I mean, I think there's you'd hate to say this, but I just feel like they may have to cut bait here. I mean, only because there's only so much shelf life.
Yeah. They may, and he said some stuff earlier in the year, which was critical of the defensive coordinator. Now he's come around. And they've come around. Let me say this. Jonathan Gannon, who's the defensive coordinator, has changed things to make it easier for Fletcher Cox. One of the other differences is Fletcher's not getting double-teamed as much as he was because Hargrave's taking some of those, which helps the revival.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. What if you thought of Darius Slay?
Yeah, my pal.
Yeah, your buddy.
Yeah. I criticized him earlier this year. At the time, I didn't think he was playing great. When he made the Pro Bowl, it was interesting that night he reached out to come back at me on Twitter. Certainly glad I could motivate him like that. He's had it. Listen, I'll say this. Since the time I wrote that, which I believe was early October, he has had a terrific season. He has lived up to the name Big Play, which we didn't see the first 20 games he played here, and has he's the best defensive back they've had since Asante Samuel, and that's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know that they are paying attention to you and that you can take them to greater heights. I mean, really, that's what you need to be better?
And then you got to call a guy out? It would be ridiculous for me to claim credit because I'm not going to do that, but
right.
It was interesting to me that 45 minutes after the Pro Bowl stuff comes out, I see my Twitter feed explodes, and it's people reacting to him reaching out and saying, I forget exactly what it was, but, you know, kind of, what do you have to say now, Big Mouth? And so what I had to say is, hey, he ended up having a terrific season. I'm glad he made the Pro Bowl. Anything that works for the Eagles works for me.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. Washington is in a quick turnaround. And I thought Washington, I was really impressed with them Sunday night. How about you, Glenn?
First quarter of that game was done, huh?
Oh, my goodness. I will say this, though, very quickly. Heinicke and Baker Mayfield did look like two quarterbacks that had not practiced at all when I watched them this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's why I just want to put everybody on the just beware list. At least he's out there putting a week's worth of practice in.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Washington because when the Eagles played them, whatever it was now, 10, 11 days ago, Washington had, you know, 25 guys on the COVID list, including Heinicke. Right. However, if you look at what's happened since then, yes, they've gotten guys back, including Heinicke, but they also they had, you know, two of their defensive linemen throwing fists at each other on the sideline the other night. That's never good. They had one of the defensive backs involved in a very tragic car accident. And I don't mean to minimize it by putting football into the equation, but that's not good. They have a really bad culture there, and I like and respect Ron Rivera. It's possible they come out and play well Sunday, but it's equally possible that Washington has just given up on the season and that they're already on the golf course when they play the Eagles this Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that's a really good point. It's not like they don't have talent, but like Chase Young's out for the year.
Yeah.
But what we saw the other night on the sideline, here's the part that makes you at least chuckle a little bit. Those guys were teammates at Alabama.
I know.
So they've been around each other forever.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, good teams bounce back from adversity. Bad teams just kind of curl up and die.
Yep.
I'm more inclined to think Washington's a bad team.
Well, and this is, in watching the Eagles play the Giants the other day, I've always had a saying, and you know this, Clint, I've said it many times, bad teams make bad plays.
Yeah.
And the Giants, I mean, the Eagles opened the door how many different times in the first quarter and a half?
I know. The Eagles got three at the half. The Eagles could have been down three touchdowns in that game, and the Giants let them stay in it until the Eagles figured it out.
I mean, are the Eagles, as you mentioned, the schedule plays a part of it, but are they the team that's been making, quote, the good plays?
Yeah. I think so. I do. I think they've gotten much better. I think a lot of it is the coaches have figured out. You know, we always give rookie players latitude to learn on the job. Well, maybe we don't, but we say we do. But we expect coaches to come in as first-year coaches and have it all figured out, and they don't. I think Nick Sirianni we talked about earlier, has been a really quick study and improved. And I think Jonathan Gannon, who's coaching the defense, has also improved. And all of that makes the Eagles a better team. You can have the same players, but if you have better coaching, it helps. And I think they got much better coaching.
Yeah, I want to. But my last question is going to be about Nick Sirianni. You talked about, you know, rookies learning on the job. Well, here's the head coach, you know, who's now moved over one spot, and now he's got the head coaching job. As time has gone, what have you seen from him?
I've seen that he's figured out what his team does well. I've seen that he commands the respect of players, including the veterans. You know, he had to sell it to Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and the guys who've been here since Chip Kelly. Kelce's been here since Andy Reid, right? Yeah. And they've been through a lot, and they're veterans. And last year they went 4 games. And it could be that this year Jason Kelce decides, you know what, this is kind of it. I've had a career. I'm going to just kind of finish this year and retire. But he's got those guys as his biggest cheerleaders, and that he has sold the veterans in the locker room on his program and his culture. To me, that's his biggest accomplishment, and he's done that really well.
Glenn, fabulous. I really enjoyed this a lot. Just always great talking with you. Thanks for the insight, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Steve, it's always my pleasure. All my best to your listeners. I hope to talk to you again soon.
The outstanding Glenn Macnow. Great to have him on the show today. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Great to have Glenn on the show today. One other note, and I was doing news and notes, I kept thinking, I left one out. Taquan Roberson, the former Nittany Lion quarterback, has his spot. And his spot will be UConn. So UConn will be the spot for Taquan Roberson. So there you go. So he'll go and with Jim Mora, who is now the head coach at UConn, trying to somehow. UConn football has several issues attached to it. And one of them is, and Boston College can take full credit for this. BC can take full credit for this. When it comes to this, because they made sure that that they did not get into the they made sure they didn't get into the ACC, and that in the end is what cooked them. That, in the end, is what cooked them. Simple as that. It really... the stadium location is awful. It's not on campus. It's 35 miles from campus. Sorry, but that's just not how you do things. It's not how life operates. And I think that to me is a huge problem for them. But for Taquan, hopefully it's an opportunity for him to get in and play at a program that needs a lot of help. But that's where he ended up. No word yet on Des Holmes. Tyler Rudolph ended up at UMass. All right.